every best gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. These words of St. James this morning reminded me of some words of Father Emmanuel. Some of you may be familiar with him. He was the pastor of a little village in France. He began his pastoral career almost at the exact moment that the Curie of Ars was ending his. And Father Emmanuel would be the pastor of this village of Menil-Saint-Loup for 54 years. This little village, similar to ours, only 350 people in this village. And yet when Father Emmanuel was through, he had had to begin two monasteries in this village for all the religious vocations. So an extraordinary man. And speaking of this question of the gifts of God which come from the Father and the necessity of asking for them, he says that all creatures live by the gifts of God. Every creature lives by the gift of God, but only men realize this. If, therefore, the carnal man forgets this fact, it is because he does not live like a man, precisely. For men endowed with reason can conclude, can understand, that they live by the gifts of God. Is it surprising, then, he asks, that Providence wants men to ask for these alms, since man is capable of understanding that he lives by alms? Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from the Father. So the necessity of prayer, is it unreasonable of God, having given man this gift of reason and thereby the capability of understanding that they live from the generosity of God, to do the very least, which is to ask God for what they require? God is certainly infinitely generous. And when we ask properly, he will give us more than we ask for, as the parable of the prodigal son is meant to illustrate. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Make me as one of thy hired men. And the Heavenly Father would have none of that, but restores to him his full honor and privileges. So God is infinitely generous, and yet God owes nothing to anyone. Therefore, he is willing to give, but he will not give. At least we've no right to expect him to give unless we ask. So prayer. And prayer is, let us remind ourselves, a simple truth from the Catechism, that it is the lifting up of our mind and heart to God. It is not essentially the recitation of a formula. Of course, we must not go so far as to despise the formulas of prayer. Some do go so far as that. Some Protestants, for example, really do look down upon these set phrases by which we address our needs to the Father. And this is going too far, because, of course, it is a help to us to lean on these phrases, these formulas of prayer. Our Lord himself teaches one, the Our Father, to his disciples when they ask him how they should pray. We lean on these to help us maintain our attention and to enlighten us about what our sentiments should be. So these formulas, of course, are formulas of humility, formulas of confidence. These sentiments are embodied in these formulas, and so they are a help to us. Nevertheless, all prayer, even vocal prayer, is not prayer unless it is the internal act of lifting up of our mind and heart to God. Prayer is a conversation between persons, between us and our Father, or between us and our Mother, Our Lady, or our Brother, Our Lord, or the Saints. It is a conversation between members of the same household. And children should be careful, perhaps nowadays when respect does not come as naturally to children as it once did. Perhaps their prayers to God are not what they ought to be because they do not fully understand even how to address their own parents. But if we do have that understanding, this little image of the household of God, which is our own home, it will help at least the children to understand how they are to address their father and their mother in heaven. So the prayer is the lifting up of our mind and heart to God. And the fruits, what are the results of a well-made prayer? Well, first of all, every prayer well-made gives honor to God. It is an act of adoration because it is an acknowledgement that He is God, that every good thing comes from Him, that we live in a state of dependence on our Creator, that acknowledgement of His role, of His excellence, and conversely, our role is an act of adoration to God. In the Psalms, David will say, "Let my prayer be directed as incense in thy sight." It's a beautiful way of summing up that, of course, incense is a sign of adoration. We don't just offer incense to anyone. But incense is a sign of adoration. And let my prayer be as incense. Let it be an act of adoration. These words, of course, they're found in the Mass itself. We use it just in a few moments at the offertory incensation when the priest incenses the crucifix. May my prayer be directed in thy sight as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. So honor to God is the first fruit of prayer. If we are in the state of grace, the second fruit would be satisfaction, a paying back of our debt to God. The elements of satisfaction are some sacrifice, some difficult work, together with charity. And of course, if we're in the state of grace, we do have charity. And the lifting up of our mind and heart, as we know, is not always easy. There's always at least a certain effort to pull our mind away from what is immediately around us, and to focus it on God. It is an effort. And therefore, it is an element which can work satisfaction. There is at least some sacrifice in prayer. And together with charity, it means that prayer is a source of satisfaction, of paying of the debt of sin. Also, if we are in the state of grace, it is a source of merit, because it is certainly a good deed. It honors God. It might be an act of charity towards our neighbor as well, if we're praying for him. So it's a good deed performed in the state of grace, therefore deserving of a reward. So merit, also a fruit of prayer, provided we're in the state of grace. But perhaps the most consoling fruit of prayer is the one that does not depend on our holiness. The one that does not depend on even whether we're in the state of grace or not. And that is the one that St. James is telling us about, the obtaining of what we ask. If this depended upon being in the state of grace, then obviously a sinner would be in an impossible situation. Once he's lost the grace of God, if a prayer required the grace of God, then he would be completely out of reach of God's mercy. But this is not true. Of course, the prayer of a just man availeth much. Of course, the holier we are, the more grace we have, the more powerful we are in general, in the supernatural order. Nevertheless, because of the promise of God, prayer does obtain what it asks. And the power of a prayer, as a prayer, depends upon the faith with which it is offered and the desire with which it is offered. Therefore, even a sinner, provided he asks for what is good for him and he asks properly, will receive what he asks. In fact, when we ask for what is necessary for our salvation, we are guaranteed to receive what we ask for. If we ask for ourselves what is necessary for salvation, the prayer is infallibly efficacious. For a sinner to pray for his own conversion, that prayer will be heard. To pray for final perseverance, this prayer will be heard. So what a consoling thought that it does not depend on our own worthiness, but only the faith and desire with which we offer our prayer. Now there are some objections that some might offer to this doctrine of prayer as taught by the Catholic Church. The first would be, well, God, after all, knows what I need, so why do I have to pray? Our Lord Himself says the Father knows what you need before you ask Him. It's true, He does say that. So why do I have to pray if God knows anyway? Cannot God save me without prayer? Well, the answer is yes. God can save souls without prayer, and He has certainly done so. At least, He certainly has done so for souls who've not prayed themselves. Nevertheless, prayer is the ordinary means by which God means to give His alms. So it would be a miracle in the supernatural order for God to save a soul without prayer. Possible, yes, but extraordinary. Some also might say, well, God's going to do what He's going to do. Whether I pray or not, if I'm meant to have it, I'll have it. Interesting objections. Guérigou Lagrange points out that prayer is a cause. In the plan of God, God brings about certain effects through certain causes, not just His own, being the first cause, of course, but through intermediary causes. The earth is warmed by the sun, and the sun does have its proper effect of warming the earth. And Guérigou Lagrange points out that to say that God will give it to me regardless of what I do is a bit like a farmer who says, if I'm meant to have corn, I'll have it, whether I plant the seed or not. Well, no. It doesn't work that way. These other causes besides God, they're real. They're real. And it's part of God's plan to grant certain gifts through the prayers of men. And if those prayers are lacking, so will be the gifts. If you do not plant seed, which is the cause of the corn, there will be no corn. So it is not true that if I'm meant to have it, I will have it. Or at least it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. It's not really an objection to the necessity of prayer, because in the plan of God, prayer is a cause of good things. Every best gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no change nor shadow of alteration. And this is a consoling thought, that God does not change. It is very lucky for us that He does not. The God that we read about in the New Testament, ask and you shall receive. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? The God of the New Testament is God, in whom there is no change nor shadow of alteration. The generosity, the mercy of God is eternal and does not change. So let us make this a motive of confidence for us, as it is meant to be. And let us go to the throne of God with that confidence and give Him the opportunity to exercise, to indulge His generosity. The fires of the Sacred Heart are meant to pour out upon the earth. And it's all that our Lord is seeking, is the opportunity to give us of Himself. So let us have pity on the Sacred Heart, and have pity on ourselves, and go to God and ask for the best gifts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.